Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's Cinco de Mayo. I hope you guys have a fiesta planned in your backyard, a fiesta party, because I think I might bust out a margarita today and celebrate this wonderful spring weather. I don't know about where you are, but we busted 80 this week. And it felt dang good to feel the heat of the sun and just get out with the flip-flops on and make it happen. We're going to go wild a little bit today on the Barbie. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, we're going to broadcast today in a little bit of Spanglish.
Yeah.
So hang on.
Damn it's little.
It's going to be really good. Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We are the Grilling Guys, and it is the weekend, so it's the best time of the week. That means for most of us, not so much work at the regular job and maybe some honeydew stuff. Mother's Day coming up, Cinco de Mayo today or yesterday if you're listening to this on Sunday. But had a little pre-Cinco de Mayo celebration yesterday. There's a great chain of restaurants in northern Michigan called La Señorita. And I found one in Lansing yesterday, and I had lunch there. And tortilla soup was phenomenal. It's the kind of place where you can go in and there's a basket of chips. You just get your own salsa. They had some salsa verde, and I just love that chain. It's a small chain, and it's nice to run into some good Mexican food.
Yeah, pretty much everybody has some sort of good Mexican food in their neighborhood or in the town that they live in. At least I hope you do, because I enjoy it.
I do too.
It is a great flavor. And it's a great way to present food. You look on the menu, and it always blows me away that about 75% of the ingredients in every Mexican dish are the same, and then they just put a little something extra in there on the end and call it something different. And you go to the Mexican restaurant, like the one you talked about, there might be 70 things on the menu. It's like, man, there is a lot of variety here, and they're all the same, but they're all different, right?
Yeah, it's always fun to explore. I'm a spicy food guy, as you know, so I'm usually digging into the jalapenos pretty heavy.
Yeah.
They're not even hot anymore.
Right. When in doubt, just burn it out. Yeah, that'll work. Hey, speaking of burning something, we Barbecue Bob and I left the show last week and hit the age steaks. We had on the show about a year ago a gentleman that had a device called a steak ager, and I bought one. And we put a couple standing rib roasts in that thing and let them set in there 34 days. And what it is, it's a dry aging device that puts a little UV light to keep the mold down, and it has a little fan to circulate air. But I put it in a beer fridge, right? Just the countertop high beer fridge. I didn't have anything else in there and let it set in there for 34 days.
And there's a good point. You don't want anything else in there because it gases pretty good.
Yes, it does. You're going through the, as Bob said, the rigor mortis phase. But what you're doing when you're dry aging is you're getting the moisture out of the meat. You're concentrating the flavors, and the enzymes break that meat down and make it more tender. So last weekend was the day where we brought those out, put them on a board, took the bones off the ribs, and then there we had this chunk of prime rib, and it had this big hard crust on the outside.
So Jop brought them out to my house. I fired up the Cajun grill.
Right.
We did them on nice Parker lump charcoal, and we put them on the counter. He trimmed off, we jointly trimmed off the crummy part. Zeus was happy to find all that decayed outer carcass.
Yeah. And what it does is it gets hard and crusty, and you just want to cut enough of it away so you're into what would be the tender meat.
The better color.
Right.
As soon as you see a nice red, that's when you quit carving.
Right. And very clearly you could see the difference.
Really obvious.
So once we trimmed it all off, and then we set them on the counter to come up to room temperature with some seasonings, and then just grilled them like you would any other piece with, I mean, beautiful marbling in these cuts that we picked this one up from Sobey Meats, but you could get them at your local butcher shop
anywhere.
Well,
there's a good story, too, because you got one from a big box store.
That's right, I did, and that's where I
was
going to go. Well, it was interesting because the one I got from my butcher was $13.50 a pound, pretty standard price for standing prime. Well, then my steak ager wasn't full. I didn't buy one big enough to fill it. So I had 4 or 5 inches left. So what I did is I'm at the big box store, and they'll remain nameless, but they had them on sale for $7.99 a pound, half basically of what I paid at my butcher. So I brought it home, and I put it in the steak ager right beside the other one.
Now, did you have to do anything to that meat before you put it in?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. You just set it in right out of the meat case.
Know.
Right. So I set it in there, but here's the phenomena. Over the course of the 34 days, this stuff is supposed to, as it ages, it darkens and gets this beautiful mahogany color. Well, the one from the big box store didn't.
Stayed red.
It stayed bright red. And I called, I happened to be having a dipsy doodle with my butcher, Tim Sobey. So I brought it up to him because I didn't know. And Tim made this declaration to me that I'll never forget now. And he said that the big box stores will put carbon monoxide, not dioxide, but carbon monoxide, like comes out of your exhaust pipe.
In their cooler.
In the package with it.
Oh.
To when they seal it up.
No kidding.
But it keeps it red longer.
They gas it.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily preserve the meat any. It just keeps it red on the outside, and it still is. I mean, we could taste the difference between the two. You could certainly see the difference after 34 days,
yeah.
But you could taste the difference too. And that was a revelation of this whole thing.
Your local butcher.
Right.
He's going to take care of you.
Right. And yep, you know what? I spent twice as much, but it was 5 pounds, guys. Right? So I spent $35 on a project that I wanted to do.
And here's the cool thing. What do you call that device?
It's called a steak ager.
And you bought it online.
Yes.
Okay. If you like aged steaks and you don't think you can afford them, because most of us can't when you go into a restaurant, you'll pay $80 for that steak.
Right.
You could buy one of these. If everybody has a little dorm fridge in their house somewhere.
Right.
Convert it over, put that box in there, and try it yourself, because it's really a fairly affordable experiment.
Right, $199 yeah. for the little machine, and then you put it in there. And I tell you what, it was we had, I think there was 7 pounds of prime rib that we started with, and we ended up with
maybe five.
Five, 4.5, 5 pounds. We got 7 really nice steaks out of it.
Well worth your time yeah. and effort because
it was,
man.
I would say that it was, you aren't going to cut it with a fork, but it was definitely butter knife.
Close.
You didn't need a steak knife by any means. And it was butter knife tender and wow, just really flavorful. Salt and pepper, you know, just don't let the meat do the work.
So here's the deal. If you are that guy that's always competing in the backyard, you got to get one of these because your neighbor won't have one. There's a reason to have one.
Yeah, but honestly, this was the first chunks of meat that we put through it. I'm refilling it this coming week, and I'm just gonna do a New York strip. And you buy these things not cut up in steaks. You want a whole primal
piece.
And
that was about 28 days to 32 days.
34 days we had it in there. Yeah. Yep, we had it in there 34 days.
And they consider 28 days to be the threshold.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So you were right in the middle of where it should have been.
And it turned out great. And
yeah.
Now, what you're going to be pained over is you cut away a lot.
Yep.
You got that piece of meat that you've been, you know, making love to for the last 34 days.
Your dog won't mind at all.
Right. And you cut a bunch of it off, that pellicle.
Because raw red meat's actually good for your dog. My vet's convinced me of that. So my dog gets plenty of it.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to go wild on the Barbie. Maybe raid your freezer, see what kind of wild game you got left from last fall, and we're going to cook it up. Stick with us. We'll be back. All around.